From Gettysburg to Greensburg, Altoona to Westchester, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, hold on to your wallets. Governor Tom Wolf has impaneled a special commission to consider alternatives to the state's gasoline tax. David Sanko from the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors is here to discuss. PennDOT has proposed tolling a number of major bridges in the state as a way to fund repairing or replacing the structures. Frank Gamrat and Eric Montardi have an Allegheny Institute report on the impact. And Congress is considering a public option for health care. But on this week's American Radio Journal commentary, Ashley Klingensmith from Americans for Prosperity Pennsylvania says they should instead be considering new private options. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to Dave Sanko from the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. There will be two proposed state constitutional amendments on the May primary ballot that would restore the traditional balance of power between the legislature and the governor by requiring legislative approval for any emergency powers declaration after 21 days. Governor Tom Wolf has abused an unlimited time frame for such powers during the COVID-19 pandemic, making the amendments necessary. But lawmakers are angry with the wording of the ballot question, saying it is misleading. The language was crafted by Wolf's Department of State. State Senate President Pro Tem Jake Corman said the Wolf administration, quote, clearly wrote it in a way for it to fail, end quote. Corman said efforts are underway to educate voters on the need to approve the amendments to prevent future governors from abusing emergency powers. With open seats for both governor and U.S. senator on the 2022 ballot, potential candidates are lining up. Former U.S. Attorney for Southeastern Pennsylvania Bill McSwain has launched a PAC to explore a possible run for governor. Former Congressman Lou Barletta, who was the GOP nominee for U.S. Senate in 2018, said he is considering a run. Also pondering a race is Congressman Dan Muser. State Senator Dan Lachlan of Erie County also floated a trial balloon for a gubernatorial candidacy this past week. All are Republicans. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. It's called the Transportation Revenue Options Commission, and it has been formed by Governor Tom Wolf as a way to consider alternatives to the state's gasoline tax. Already the second highest such tax in the nation, state transportation officials say, revenue from the levy is not keeping up with the cost of maintaining roads and bridges. Here to discuss the work of the new commission and its importance to municipalities is David Sanko. Dave is executive director of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Dave, welcome back to Lincoln Radio Journal. Dave, this Transportation Revenue Options Commission that the governor is proposing, for our listeners, explain exactly what the commission is and what's the governor trying to achieve with this commission?
Well, I think that as costs continue to go up, whether there's a pandemic or not, some of the traditional sources of funding transportation in Pennsylvania have been declining. The fuel tax, the gas tax example, people are driving less miles in some instances because of the pandemic. In some instances, they're using less gas because of higher fuel efficiencies. There are alternate fuel vehicles, natural gas, electric, what have you, that aren't buying gas at all. So that particular piece of revenue stream is declining anyway. And then, so I think, and initially the thought was, well, we need to figure out how we're going to replace that. And this Transportation Revenue Option Commission, TROC, I think there is, I guess, what's going to be called, is intended to come up with a menu of options for consideration, for how to fund PennDOT. Moving forward, and I make that distinction because my fear is that it's going to talk about funding PennDOT as opposed to the current transportation network, which includes state roads, but also local roads. I mean, there are, PennDOT maintains 40,000 plus miles of road, but there are 78,000 miles of road that are maintained by local governments. So by and large, more than half the roads in Pennsylvania are local roads, and this seems to be more figuring out how to, they're going to raise money for PennDOT.
Let's talk a little bit more about that, Dave, because I think a lot of folks don't realize or understand that a portion of this gas tax revenue, liquid fuels funds, do in fact go to their local municipality. How important is that to townships, boroughs, cities, and what would happen if that money all of a sudden went only to PennDOT and wasn't shared with localities?
I think when you look at the gas tax, a little less than 15% of that amount that's collected goes back to your local municipality. So while that may not be a lot of money, I mean, in total for the state, that's about $500 million that gets funneled back to local municipalities, and that helps with local roads and bridges in townships and boroughs and cities, probably in the 10 to 15% range. It certainly doesn't cover the costs of any of the mandates that come along with it. But more importantly, if it goes away, it forces local communities to have to raise property taxes or local income tax, because those are the only choices the local communities have.
I realize this commission is still in the organizational phase here, Dave, but is this simply going to be how do we replace the gas tax, or do you see it developing into that more systematic look at transportation, including the fact that PennDOT takes a huge chunk of money from the Pennsylvania Turnpike Commission, and that revenue source is slated to expire here in a couple of years?
I think it's going to be probably the bigger picture. And the gas tax is part of it, but you're right that the turnpike money is going to go away. That will need to be replaced. There are, and I think it's going to require everybody to take a look not only at what you raise, but also take a look at what you spend. Right now, turnpike sends $400 million plus a year to PennDOT. That's scheduled to go away. Perhaps it's a matter of coincidence, but PennDOT then sends $400 million to Mass Transit. So maybe it's just the turnpike funding mass transit. But I think you have to take a hard look at all of the pieces of the transportation system and figure out how you're going to fund it.
We are talking with Dave Sanko. Dave is the executive director of the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. He is a member of the Transportation Revenue Options Commission. This impaneled by Governor Tom Wolf. Specifically looking at the gas tax. Let's, however, before we get back to potentially other options here, Dave, talk a bit more about the spending side. Are there ways that not only PennDOT, but local governments might be relieved of perhaps some regulations in order to be able to make the money we do have go a lot farther?
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things that I've seen and am most proud about in working with local officials is that they will figure out how to get 110 cents worth of value out of a dollar bill, and they'll figure out how to get things done on limited budgets and without cutting corners and risking safety. But there are some mandates that come from the state and that require, and some from the feds, that just raise your cost of doing business. If they would simply alleviate some of those mandates, you could do more with the existing revenue that you have. The feds, for example, require that when you're mowing, you have to send out a second vehicle to drive behind the mower so nobody hits the mower, which is important, except who protects the second vehicle? I mean, now you've got two people at risk out there. Prevailing wage it raises the cost of doing projects between 25 and 30%. We've asked to have that threshold raised for a number of years, and it has been raised since 1961. There are other mandates that the hardness of stone that you use in riprap. I mean, communities will go out and buy stone to do their local roads, and different communities, different roads, different areas have different standards. But if you use your liquid fuels money, the money that comes from the state, you have to follow certain guidelines for what's eligible and what's not eligible. It doesn't encourage the sharing of resources. A couple years ago, a couple communities wanted to get together and take their liquid fuels money and jointly build a salt shed that all three communities could use. And yet they were told that they couldn't take that money and use for a joint project because that money had to stay inside of the township it was designated to. So they forced three communities to build three smaller salt sheds, which was a waste of resources.
In terms of potential options then, Dave, for the gas tax, I suppose one option is always raising the tax, which is already, what, the second highest in the country? Other options have been suggested, for example, like charging each vehicle per mile driven, a tax on each mile driven. Talk a little bit about that. Is that really a fair and equitable tax?
No, I was going to say probably not. I'm going to say definitively not. Pennsylvania is a large state. In many parts of Pennsylvania, you have to drive 15, 20, 30 miles to get to work or to the doctors or to shop or to church or a post office. I mean, so you'd have to pay more if you lived in rural parts of Pennsylvania. If you live in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, you can walk to a lot of places or large urban centers. So they wouldn't pay very much at all. It's somewhat disproportionate. So, I mean, if you were going to have to do that, we would propose that an alternative to help balance that figure is there would be a congestion tax, but it further calculates how much time you're spending in the car. So if you're sitting in traffic, I mean, a car running for an hour, whether you drive 30 miles in Cowdersport or 3 miles in Delaware County, the car's still been running and burning fuel for an hour.
How then would you also capture revenue from vehicles that are out of state and just passing through? Pennsylvania literally is a keystone state when it comes to transportation. We have a lot of through traffic. How would you then capture revenue from those vehicles?
In those instances, that's very complicated to keep track of. I mean, right now they pay a share if they buy fuel here. But if they buy fuel before they enter the state and get through the state without, they're riding our roads for free now. Some have suggested that the tolling could play a role in for the through traffic. But that's a challenge as well. How do you keep track of all that when you're traveling in state or out of state or your total miles? I know in Maryland, every year, I think you turn in on your registration card how many miles you drive. But I don't know how they break out what are in-state miles versus out-of-state miles.
Well, certainly it is a complicated issue, and the Transportation Revenue Options Commission is going to start taking a look at all of this. Dave Senko from the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors is a member of that. Hopefully, Dave, this doesn't just turn into a way to raise taxes. But in the meantime, tell us a bit about PSATs. What does the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors do, and where can folks read more about you?
We are a member service organization for the townships all across Pennsylvania. We provide education and information to help those township supervisors do their jobs better and serve residents and serve taxpayers. We share best practices, and you can find us at our website at www.psats.org. That's PSATS.org.
David Senko from the Pennsylvania State Association of Township Supervisors. Dave, thank you for being here.
Sure.
PennDOT is also considering placing tolls on a number of major bridges across the state in an effort to fund repairs and or replacement of those structures. Here with an Allegheny Institute report on the cost to motorists are Frank Gamrat and Eric Montardi. Eric?
Hello and welcome to the Allegheny Institute report on the Lincoln Institute Radio Journal. I'm Eric Montardi. Joining me today is the Executive Director of the Allegheny Institute, Frank Gamrat. At the beginning of the year, Frank, our first installment of the Institute report for 2021, we talked about the annual increase on the turnpike. And here we are now, and we're talking about another possible toll increase.
Yes.
But not on the turnpike.
Yes,
this could
one.
Be on other bridges that are not related to the turnpike. Can you give our listeners an idea of where these tolls might be, how high they might go, and why that's happening?
Absolutely. PennDOT is the entity at fault here, if you will. And back in 2012, the legislature passed something called Act 88, which established a public-private partnership for bridge repair. And they've done a lot of small bridges around the Commonwealth and to great success. And basically, Act 88, it's an agreement between a private entity and a public entity, which pushes all of the responsibility for construction, design, maintenance of that bridge onto a private entity for a certain fee, and they'll maintain it for a certain amount of time. Well, that was so successful, PennDOT's going with something called the Major P3 Initiative, Bridge Initiative, where they're going to start tackling 9 large bridges on the interstate in this initiative. And to pay for it, they're proposing putting a toll on them. Now, the 9 bridges are, there's 4 of them on Interstate 80, and there's one in Allegheny County on I-79, one in Philadelphia County on I-95, one in Berks County on I-78, one on the Dauphin-Cumberland line on I-83, and one in Susquehanna County on I-81. And like I said, Luzerne, Jefferson, Clarion, and Carbon-Luzerne counties on I-80. So there's 9 bridges. Now, this is made possible by federal legislation in 1991, which came out and said, hey, you are allowed to replace a non-toll bridge with a toll bridge on an interstate, because the feds own the interstate. The only, qualifier is that you still need federal government approval to do so.
So here we are. The plan has been proposed by PennDOT. It hasn't really gotten a lot of good reception. Obviously, I mean, there's frustration with the gasoline tax and, you know, registration fees went up, and then there was a local add-on for registration fees. And obviously, you know, there's the turnpike and its annual toll increases.
Right.
So what are we talking about here? So the private entity replaces a bridge, and then they're going to put – you're not going to put toll booths.
No,
you're going to put
some type of
you know, overhead thing that that you'll pay. Right. How much are we talking about on a toll?
Right.
Or is it, it would be how high possibly would they go?
The legislature does have 20 calendar days or 9 legislative days to overturn anything from this initiative. As of this writing, which is, you know, late March, while the calendar days have elapsed because it was, this project was proposed on February 22nd, 2021, we are only 6 legislative days in. And so you have a little bit of time because the legislature is hopping mad over it. Nobody wants to pay the tolls, da da da. But the other thing that you mentioned was the gasoline tax. And so the reason this has come up is that the gasoline tax has not kept pace with the cost of repaving and redoing roads and bridges or just the number of projects that have been put on the list because, well, let's face it, PennDOT doesn't have the best reputation for construction and replacing things. They've waited until the very end. They've always pushed the money off, you know, whether it was legislatively or not. So now they're in catch-up mode and they need a lot of money. The tax from, there's the 2 Act 89 taxes. There's the fuels tax, which is diesel fuel, and the liquid fuels tax, which is gasoline. They had been doing fine until, of course, the pandemic struck in 2020. And then they sort of took a bit of a nosedive, plus the fact that you've got a lot of more fuel-efficient vehicles out there and electric vehicles out there that aren't paying those fuel taxes, or at least not as many, much in fuel taxes, and it's kind of taken a dip. And so the question then, well, okay, if we don't have the money from the fuels taxes, now what do we do? And so the tolling came up, and it's a bit of a user tax. And so those who use the bridge will pay for it. If you don't use the bridge, you don't pay for it. Now, getting back to your question of how much will the toll be, the answer is we're not really sure. But in the papers, in the news media, the PennDOT has said it would be between $1 and $2. Chances are, much like the turnpike, it'll be cheaper for a passenger vehicle and more expensive for a commercial vehicle. For example, in Allegheny County, the Bridgeville project on I-79, there's 87,000 vehicles per day that crosses that bridge, of which 12% are commercial vehicles. In Philadelphia, on I-95, it's, 147-ish thousand vehicles per day, of which 6% happen to be commercial vehicles. Now, up on I-80, the average is about 56% passenger vehicles, the rest commercial vehicles. So it's a little higher use of commercial vehicles on Interstate 80 crossing the northern tier of the state. But if even at $2, you're talking, if you go through all 4 zones, you're paying $8. Now, while that sounds like not much, compared to what the turnpike is. When you look at cost per mile for a tractor trailer, for a commercial vehicle, the American Trucking Transportation Research Institute came out and said that nationwide, the average cost per mile is like $1.82 to run a big rig, of which the highest percentage is wages for the driver. But the second lowest is tolls. Tolls average, I think, 2% or less than 3 cents per mile on average. And then permits and fees are the last remaining piece. They're only 1%. So surprisingly, tolls are not that big of an issue for commercial vehicles. Even if you travel the entire length of Interstate 80, it's not quite 300 miles. And you pay $8, you don't break that on a per mile basis. For a truck, it'd be pretty small. Now, we do recommend a few things here, because we're not going to stand there and tell you that tolls are the way to go. It is a user tax and would be a fair way to go. However, there's two things we'd want the legislature to do. One, and that is regulate the toll limits. Tell them you can only do $1 at most or $2 at most. And two, put a sunset on it. Hey, once this bridge is paid off, you take that tolling equipment down. Because as we know in Pennsylvania, our legislators and elected leaders have not met a tax they don't like.
Frank, interesting stuff. And of course, our readers can always go to our website, which is AlleghenyInstitute.org, to read this brief, to read the work on the turnpike, and a variety of other topics as well. For Frank Gamrat, this is Eric Montardi, and this has been the Allegheny Institute Report on the Lincoln Institute Radio Journal.
Congress should be looking at expanding private options for lowering the cost and improving access to health care. So says Ashley Klingensmith from Americans for Prosperity, Pennsylvania, on this Lincoln Radio Journal commentary.
Speaker Pelosi has made the most of the first 100 days of this new Congress, passing legislation that will fundamentally transform Americans' lives, and from our perspective, for the worse. She's passed the PRO Act, legislation that will strip away workers' rights, invalidate right-to-work laws enacted in 28 states, and restrict the ability of people to offer their skills as independent contractors. She's passed H.R. 1, legislation that will remake the Federal Election Commission into a partisan agency and prevent nonprofits from supporting pioneering causes. She's passed a recent $2 trillion stimulus bill that spends hundreds of billions to bail out states whose fiscal mismanagement far predates COVID-19, spends billions to bail out large insurance companies, and grows government control of your health care. This bill tees up the next big priority of Speaker Pelosi, of Leader Schumer, and of President Biden: public option legislation. Now it is our time to push back with a viable and better alternative, the personal option. America boasts some of the best medical technology, healthcare workforce, and hospital infrastructure in the world, yet 70% of Americans think our healthcare system isn't working. The obstructions from red tape and hidden prices make healthcare too expensive with too few options. Healthcare should be about your health and how it's cared for. So that means we need the control and choice that we deserve. Simply put, access to the medical professionals you trust at a price you can afford. Some in Washington believe the only way to get us there is through the government providing it through a public option. But we've just witnessed the massive government failures throughout the pandemic that made it harder for folks to get the help they needed, including rigid laws that limited hospitals on how many people they could see and prevented doctors and nurses from going to locations that needed their help. Why would we ever double down and ask the government to do more in healthcare? Well, we don't, and we can take a new approach. We must counter the tired, one-size-fits-all idea of a public option with a positive solution, and that is the personal option. The personal option isn't an overhaul of the system, but rather a set of smart, sensible reforms that lower costs, increase access, and keep patients at the center. Americans don't want a complete takeover. They just want us to fix what's broken. And we can do that by focusing on five reforms. First, expand health savings accounts, which can make healthcare more affordable by saving folks anywhere between 10 and 40% off every medical expense, stretching healthcare dollars farther. Big business and employers get a tax break for offering health insurance and benefits. The little guy doesn't get a similar break. In fact, only 1 in 10 Americans have access to an HSA. But we can change that by enacting legislation that allows everyone to save and spend for healthcare tax-free. Second, increase availability of short-term plans, which can be 50 to 80% cheaper than the traditional, heavily regulated plans. It's insurance that allows you to buy what you need without all of the bells and whistles. Third, we can increase direct primary care, which is a subscription-style option that allows folks to pay a monthly fee and have direct access to the primary care provider of their choice. Fourth, we can increase price transparency, including for prescription drug prices. And fifth, increase access to telehealth. It can lower costs and prevent needless virus transmission. We shouldn't need to ask an insurance company for permission to speak with our doctor over the phone or over the internet. It gives folks in rural communities and in underserved urban areas more options to access more medical professionals. When we counter a big, single, bad idea with a series of smart, common sense reforms like we just listed, we have a real shot at success. The main goal of the personal option is universal access, meaning everyone gets the care they need, when they need it, at a price they can afford. As we look ahead to the next quarter of this Congress, we're asking each of you to visit personaloptionplaybook.com. My name's Ashley Klingensmith. I'm State Director with Americans for Prosperity. Like us on Facebook by searching at PAAFP and find us on Twitter and follow us there by searching at AFP Pennsylvania.
And it's time to begin talking about the 2021 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference. After being virtual last year, an in-person conference will be held June 11 and 12 at the Radisson Penn Harris Convention Center in Camp Hill. The Pennsylvania Leadership Conference is the premier gathering of conservative activists each year here in the Keystone State. This year's featured speakers will be Jesse Waters, host of Waters World on the Fox News Channel, Fox News contributor Jason Chaffetz, along with John Gizzi of Newsmax. Complete information and registration for the 2021 Pennsylvania Leadership Conference can be found at paleadershipconference.org. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, lincolnradiojournal.com and lincolninstitute.org. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations. They include the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, and the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.
We'll be right back.